microwaved coffee. Here we are, once again, in our own rooms, quarantining.
We're recording on a Tuesday on election day, so hopefully by the time you guys hear this, well, that's not going to happen.
Election day!
Interesting news.
Yes.
Yesterday, I had to microwave my coffee.
Wait, what do you mean had to?
Oh my god, Kyle's going to be so proud.
I forgot it in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's what Kyle does.
I was making a pour over, and then I came back. I always put like a little bit of water, and then I come back to my desk, and then I start doing things, and then I'll go back and get it, and then I forgot about it, and it was like an hour later. It was still kind of warm, but I was like, oh no. I was like, I can't believe I'm going to actually microwave my coffee.
You should have had an iced coffee instead.
I know, right? But it's cold.
You know what?
Cold in the morning.
Kyle would be proud.
Yeah. This so quarantine proud. Has made us stoop to new levels.
Yeah, so, I microwaved it. But it was okay. I didn't do it three times like Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle says the third time is what makes it good. But gross. I don't believe him.
It's okay. I think two or three weeks ago, I did microwave my coffee once.
You didn't tell us?
I was embarrassed. But now that you did it, it's okay. No, I can admit.
You're like, now I can admit it.
But yeah, hopefully everyone voted.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And hopefully the world isn't burning while you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully.
There was like places being boarded up in New York, right? Like storefronts and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Like preparing?
Yeah. Like the whole city has just been boarding stuff up.
Oh, geez.
Because they're like, either way, something's gonna happen.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not
either. I hope it's like, I don't know. I don't know what I hope for. It's like this year can't get any worse. But then it can.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah. It's like, this is like the year.
Yeah.
The year.
The year where everything happened.
Yeah.
Well, like even those freaking people in Vienna getting like murdered left and right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you hear that car go by?
Yeah, I heard it. I didn't even hear it through my headphones. I just heard it.
Outside.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. How was your guys' Halloween? I know we FaceTimed for a little bit or did video, but...
Carved a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys get any trick-or-treaters?
No.
I ended up eating some of their candy that they would have gotten.
Of course.
I had so much candy. We had to throw it out.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, don't tell Kyle that. He's gonna be so
I could upset. Not stop eating Snickers. But he doesn't listen to this, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's true. He'll never know.
Yeah. True. But yeah, I mean, that was basically our... Halloween was just that. Dressed up as a banana again.
The best.
And, I think that was it. Tried ordering Uber Eats.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
Freaking the app crashed or whatever. And then, like, later, like, after we hung up, like, the Zoom or whatever, it, like, 20 minutes later, they were like, we canceled your order because it could not be processed. And I was like...
Oh no!
It's the worst because you're waiting for it, you know, and
yeah, because I'm hungry.
Yeah,
but yeah. So then I was just like, we had some like food in the fridge, and I just like ate that, like a little bit of it, and then I just went to bed sad.
That's the worst because you're craving something.
Yeah, my
wait on it. Yeah, it's so specific, and then you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna carve a pumpkin, eat a pizza. No.
Yeah,
that was the scariest part of Halloween.
No food.
No food.
Yeah, Martha said she was having issues, right?
Yeah, she's the one that said that, and then after that, it crashed. I blame her.
She jinxed it for me.
Yeah. But yeah, what have I done this week? Nothing really.
Again, it feels like we just recorded last week's episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everyone, for the boring content, but literally our lives have stopped. The only good news is that Vanessa has like a few weeks left before her final. And then she has to turn something in the first week of December, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of get her back after like 3 years.
Nice.
Yeah. She has to study for her license exam, but it's not going to be as crazy as like there's no deadline.
Her finals and stuff.
Yeah.
So it should be fun.
I miss restaurants.
Yeah. I miss like Sunday dinner.
Yeah, Sunday dinners. I miss cooking for more than one person.
Yeah.
It's been so depressing. You know, we have construction going on in our house right now, and I like gave the construction guy, I baked them like a bread pudding. So I was like, I'm going That's crazy. Nice. I need to cook. Like, and I was like, and I have nobody to eat it.
I've been watching, like, I've been going through like every Adam Sandler movie on Netflix.
That's a good thing to watch right now.
Just because, yeah, like, I don't want to like think about anything. And I've been playing this game. Kijan probably knows because she gets the emails of things that I buy.
Oh yeah,
because she's like on our family plan or whatever. But I've been playing this game called Pixel Pro Golf.
What's that?
Pixel Pro Golf.
Yeah, it's like it's basically like a single button golf game. Like It's so much fun. It's so stupid. Basically, it's like a top down view of like a golf course, and you select your driver, right, or your golf club.
Yeah.
And then there's like a little half circle thing, so you tap the thing, and then you have to hit the green at the green little bar on the circle. Like there's like a circle and it has like red, yellow, green. And you have to hit the green by tapping it again, and then it comes back down and you have to tap again in the green. And then you do a good shot, and that's literally all it is. And I've been like playing it
old school.
Old
school golf. I think I had a Mario golf game that was like that, and then one on Sega.
Yeah, basically every golf. If you played a golf game, like on Nintendo or anything, it's like that, and it's free. And you unlock things by. I did pay 99 cents for ad free because the ads are obnoxious.
Oh my god,
it's only a dollar. So
yeah.
I was like, a dollar is fine. And then you can pay
even
a dollar to unlock
time, right?
Yeah you can pay to unlock like the golf clubs or all the courses, but you unlock that as like progression, so I'm like, I'm not gonna pay. I'll pay for ads, but yeah, that's all I've been doing is watching Adam Sandler and playing this game.
That's a good, like, mental cleanse, you know?
And then I started watching Star Trek Discovery, which is on Netflix, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. I'm not, like, a big Star Trek fan, but I had been reading that it was, like, a good show, and yeah, it's pretty good if you like sci-fi.
Yeah.
And obviously all my YouTube stuff that I watch.
Yeah.
You know, just funny stuff on YouTube. Actually, the new thing that started popping up, remember last week I said that things weren't popping up?
Yeah, and you were like getting the same things, and you're like, I've already seen everything.
Yeah, the new thing that started popping up, which is very random, is like a house video tours of like houses that are being sold, and they're just like giant houses, but for some reason it's only showing me houses from Canada.
That is so weird.
Yeah, YouTube was probably like, oh yeah, you want something random? Yeah. Here you go. And I'm like, and I've been watching. We'll they're so random. Cool. Yeah, like a lot of these houses are like, I'm like, oh, that's a nice like house layout. And then I'm like, oh, I wouldn't put that there. I would like, and then I just start watching them, like, just like mind-numbing things. That's all I watch. Like,
oh, it's a bit like HGTV. Yeah. We're blessed with AGTV because I'm like, what a distraction. It's perfect.
Yeah, we've been home for so long, and who knows how long we're gonna be, that I was actually thinking the other day, I was like, should I just pay for cable, like, until the quarantine's over? Because, like, I'm like, so over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So over being here.
Wouldn't it be a bad idea?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just want it to be over already.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah, we don't usually... I use the Apple TV a lot. I do a lot of, like, HBO and Netflix.
Yeah.
Those are, like, my go-tos.
But I what I hate is that there's no... Like, Netflix needs to come up with a way to channel surf. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, where it just starts playing it. Like, screw because the
Hulu
intros.
Does that.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I just wanted to start playing. And I... Because, like, half... I could spend like 45 minutes on Netflix just browsing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, I'm like, I'll watch How I Met Your Mother again.
Oh, my God, that. I know.
And so, like, I think what I'm missing is that, like, back when everyone had TVs, you would just be flipping through the channels. And then even Netflix should even implement, like, a thing where they're like, all right, this movie, we're going to start it halfway through.
Oh, like you're actually flipping, channel surfing.
Yeah, like if you're actually channel surfing. And then if you want to watch it, you could just, you know, start from beginning or something. I don't know. I think that would be a great idea.
That's true. That would get people to watch. Because when you're watching TV, you're like, all right, what's the best thing to watch right now that's playing? You know, and so you flip through the channels, you're like, okay, I'm going to watch this. But Netflix, it's like, you can watch all of it at any time. So you're just like spending more time looking through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I, like if, while ago, well, actually when Vanessa was like starting school and like we realized that she was just basically studying all the time, we actually contemplated like canceling Netflix because I don't really watch it. I watch either Kijan's movies or I play games, so I don't, and I watch YouTube, which is free, so like
yeah
we almost we almost canceled it. But then she was like, no, because then when I want to, like, she's like, when she takes a break, like sometimes she'll watch Netflix. So it's like that's the only reason we have it.
Yeah
And because her mom uses like our account.
I've been going through I made Kyle watch Schitt's Creek, which he loved, and I'm it's so funny. I watched it. It's so good. It's so funny. And
it's
then
it's really hard starting like
a new show
that has so many seasons. It's like,
yeah,
it's like an investment for me. So I'm like, do I really
want? But you know what? Like, to be honest, it went by so fast because the episodes are like 20 minutes. They're super short. And then we went through it, and Kyle's like, am I done? Like, he couldn't believe he was done. And he was like, that was so fast.
It was the same day.
Yeah.
I done?
The thing that I liked about when I started watching the Star Trek Discovery was I'm not invested that much. So, like, I can just pause it and not watch it, and then I'll go back to it. Or I'll finish an episode, and I'll be like, all right, I'm kind of done with that. And then,
yeah.
But it's actually really good, like, not to die. It's just, like, I'm not that invested in Star Trek, like, universe type thing. So, it's just... But it's really good. Like, the actors are really good. They have me kind of hooked in, like, they haven't, like, told you, like, the actual plot, like, what they're doing. But they give you, like, little tidbits in every episode. So it's just kind of like, okay, well, I guess I'll watch the next.
Yeah, I think I'm going to watch Veep again. Because it's so funny, but they don't give you a chance. They don't give you a break. Like, it's like joke after joke after joke after joke.
Okay.
So it's a really good show to watch repeatedly because it's like, oh my God, I never saw that, or I never heard that, or I've never, you know, I didn't pick up on that joke.
You're laughing at that first joke they said, and then another joke comes in. It's funnier.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. But yeah. So anyways, this is Microwave Coffee Podcast, and I'm Kijan Sandy.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Justin Park.
Okay, so I've been meaning to do this subject for a while, and now I don't know what I got myself into, because it's just like
So this is
that's
not
what happens to me all the time. You know how many subjects I've started and then I'm like, oh, this is way deeper than I thought, so I'll find something way else. Deeper.
So you guys know I separate my music by like seasons, which is this really weird thing that I do. So I was listening to my fall music, and there's a song in my playlist from the Decemberist called The Shankill Butchers. And so I decided to look them up. Before I start, I should say that I can't talk about them without talking about the Troubles in Northern Ireland. So I'm going to grossly generalize the Troubles. So don't at me, because this is not like this is not a historically accurate podcast. Like, you know, I'm just going to like give you general facts about it, but there's like this long history about it. So if you are interested in it, I'll say it again at the end of the podcast, but there's a really great podcast called The Troubles, and each episode breaks down a different section of this like era. So let's start with that. There are two parts to Ireland. There's Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, and then there's the Republic of Ireland, which is its own country. I know that might seem kind of obvious to people, but I'm only saying it because I've heard a lot of people refer to Ireland as part of the UK and as a whole. So they're two separate countries. So the Troubles was a nationalist conflict that started in the 1960s in Northern Ireland between Unionists, who are mostly Protestant and wanted to remain in the UK, and Irish nationalists, who were mostly Catholic and wanted out of the UK. So they wanted to be the Republic of Ireland separate. So even though it's not about religion, you hear it described as Catholic and Protestant, like as a battle between Catholic and Protestants. So Shankill is an area in Belfast, Northern Ireland. It still to this day, I think, has a lot of violence, like most border cities do. So a lot of murders were happening within this one 15 square mile area, which is Shankill Road. And during the Troubles, most of the murders took place in that area more than anywhere else in Northern Ireland. So the Shankill Butchers were a gang of Unionists. So they were the ones that were on the side of staying with the UK, and had this like extreme hatred towards Catholics, like specifically Catholics. They were part of what's called the UVF, which is the Ulster Volunteer Force. They are a loyalist parliamentary group. So again, they're part of the staying in the UK, that side. The other thing that makes the subject really confusing is that there's like different names for groups that all belong to like the same side, so you'll see like a lot of different stuff, but it's mostly like these two sides. So the gang was led by a man named Lenny Murphy, and Murphy was born in Shankill, Belfast in 1952. He was not a great kid. Like, even as a young kid, they were like, he's a little off, this child. At school, he was a bully. He was like always a bully, no matter what class he was in. He would threaten other kids with knives. And even as a child, he described Catholics as scum and animals. So his hatred for Catholics started when he was like a kid. On September 28th, 1972, William Edward Pavis, a 32-year-old man from Belfast, was shot in broad daylight. Pavis was a Protestant, but he was suspected of selling weapons to the IRA. The IRA is a group they were for the Republic of Ireland, so separating from the UK. They were Irish nationalists. And I think they're still, I don't know how active they are right now, but I think they're still considered one of the top 10 terrorist organizations in the world. We don't really hear, especially here, we don't really hear a lot about them. They had been, this guy was kind of seen as a traitor, Pavis, and so they shot him. So Murphy, along with his getaway driver, Mervyn Connor, were arrested right after the murder because there was witnesses. Connor was only arrested for a few hours, and he like immediately threw Murphy under the bus. Well, he was like, he killed him, he's a mastermind, he did everything. But the thing was that Connor wasn't the only one. There was other witnesses that identified Murphy in a lineup. So he ended up getting arrested. So they were both arrested and they ended up in, I think it's called a cell block, like the same cell block. So they were right next to each other. 2 months before they went to trial, Connor was found dead in his jail cell with a suicide note. So this is his getaway driver. Suicide note right before the trial. And the cause of death was cyanide. He took cyanide. Now, the suicide note is legit the fakest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's a complete... I'm like, it sounds so fake. So first of all, it starts off by saying, to whom it may concern. Already kind of weird. Like, too formal for a suicide note.
Yeah, right.
Fear, search, less man.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Then it goes on to say that blaming Murphy was a huge lie that he couldn't live with, that his conscience like couldn't deal with it, and that he's the one that killed the Pavis, the guy. So clearly Murphy murdered this guy, like, and made it look like a suicide. Murphy was supposed to be released in 1973, but was immediately arrested again for attempted escape. So he tried to escape several times when he was in jail. Murphy ended up being acquitted of Pavis's murder because there was still nothing directly linking him to the murder, and the eyewitness testimony was not very clear, so he was released in May of 1975. Murphy decided to build his own gang when he got out. So this is separate from the UV, I think it's called UVF, the group that he was part of. And he said, I want to do my own thing, kind of, you know, similar principles, I guess you can call them. And then, but he wanted to make his own gang. So he got three guys to join him. In total, there's about 11 members that we know about, but there's three main, but those 11 members would go in and out. And so there's three main guys that we know of. The first one was 25-year-old Robert Bates. They called him Basher. The second one was 20-year-old Sam McAllister, and the third one was 25-year-old William Moore. On November 25th, 1975, 34-year-old Francis Crossan was walking home at night after a night out. A black taxi with four men pulled over. One of the men got out and hit him over the head with a tire iron. Crossan was then pulled into the taxi and taken into an alley on Shankill Road. Oh, I should have said this at the beginning. Listener discretion, because what I'm about to, the things that I'm about to describe are very, very graphic. So I should have said that at the beginning. So if you want to stop listening at right now,
yeah, hold on, let me mute you on my end. Yeah.
Crossan's body was found the next day. His throat had been slit so deeply that he was practically decapitated. The body was found just blocks from the police station, which they think was done purposely to kind of mock the cops and show them that they kind of have control of this place. Mm-hmm. The family had to have a closed casket funeral because the body was so badly mutilated. On February 6, 1976, Thomas Quinn had gone to a bar and was walking home when he was pulled into a car. He was also found the next day, throat slit, just like the previous victim. 3 days after Quinn's murder, the Shankill Butchers killed Archibald Hanna and Raymond Carlyle. I know, it's that name.
That's what we named the kitty that's outside.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, oh, yeah. I was trying to think. I'm like, who just mentioned that name? I was like trying to think of it. And
there's
then
a little kitty that's, he's still like outside roaming around.
He's so cute.
He lets us like, he comes in the house like he owns the place.
Yeah, he's like, move, I'm cold.
Yeah, he just comes in, walks around, plays with the cat toys, and then like he's like, all right, I want to leave, and then he just leaves.
How do the other cats react to him?
Anastasia hates him. Like, our cats aren't very, like, they're not, like, fighty. I don't know.
Like, yeah, they're not, really confrontative. Fight.
Yeah, they just kind of hiss. Charlie is fine as long as he doesn't touch him.
Yeah. He's like, just stay away from me and we're cool.
Yeah, if the other cat touches him, then he hisses. But other than that, they basically play with, like, the laser toy or a little ball that, like, rattles or whatever. But the other cat, I think, is still kind of scared of our cats because they're bigger. But yeah, he's pretty comfortable. Like, he, yeah, like, I thought our cats were going to be weird, but Anastasia just hates all other animals.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, she loves humans. Other animals, not so much.
No thanks. So those, here's the thing. Those two guys that they killed, the butchers thought were Catholic, and they weren't. They were Protestant. What's crazy to me about this whole thing is that it's like, what the fuck does a Catholic look like? Or what does a Protestant look like? Like, how are you?
Or you know when you see him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you know. You get this gut feeling. 2 months later, a couple was walking home after a night out when some men pulled up in a black taxi and shot the man in the head, the husband in the head, and sped off. The woman whose husband was shot gave police a description, but the problem was that there are about 800 black taxis operating just in that area.
That's what I was gonna say. And like, yeah, in the UK, isn't it all black
taxis? It's all black taxis. Yeah, yeah. That's a yeah.
Stupid
yeah. Description. All right. So it's not like, it's not, yeah, it's not like unique or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the other issue is that no one is gonna talk to the police, because they were like, I saw interviews with people and they were like, what if it was my neighbor committing these murders? Like, I'm not going to be part of this. So they just kind of kept quiet and were too afraid to talk. The one big thing that did come out of it was that one of those taxis is operated by William Moore, who's one of the three guys who's like in the gang, or he's like part of the gang. Unfortunately, his taxi was forensically searched and it came up with no results. They couldn't find anything. And I mean, also, this is like the late 70s, so I don't think that forensic science was that great.
Yeah.
Back then. It's
still not great, but it's better.
Yeah. So nothing came out of it, and the media refused to publish anything about Murphy because they were scared of retaliation. The other thing is that during the Troubles, most of the murders were like bombs. Like, I'm sure you guys have heard about Bloody Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It, Bloody Sunday was, I mean, that's like a whole nother subject. Yeah, the U2 song. Yeah. That's like a whole nother subject. But Bloody Sunday was, they had set up about, I think, 20 bombs around the city. And so it killed like a bunch of people and like injured hundreds. So, you know, even the media was scared to talk about this because like anybody could kill them and they would never know. They could just set up a bomb in their building or do whatever they wanted. So once they had the taxi forensically searched, Murphy made Moore destroy the taxi, and he got a yellow Ford Cortina instead. I've never heard of that car. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But anyways.
Yeah.
On March 11th of 1976, Murphy shot a Catholic woman in a drive-by shooting. And this badass bitch survived. And not only did she survive, she had him arrested that day. Because her description was, like, so to the point.
Better than Catholic.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. While in prison, Murphy didn't want it to be obvious that it's him behind these murders, so he had his gang continue the slayings while he was locked up. That way later on they can't be like, well, what a coincidence that there's no murders while you were in jail, and then all of a sudden there are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the gang did continue the slayings. Their other victims include Stephen McCann, who is 21. He was a Queen's University student who was murdered on October 30th, 1976. Another victim was 52-year-old Joseph Morrissey, killed on February 3rd, 1977. Francis Cassidy, 43, they beat and stabbed him, and he was killed on March 30th, 1977. On Tuesday, May 10th, 1977, a man named Gerard McClaverty was walking down the street when two of the butchers posed as police pulled over and forced him into the car. The men took McClaverty to a vacant doctor's office where they beat him, stabbed him, and slashed his wrists several times. The butchers left him to die, but miraculously he survived. And so he was able to become another witness. Yeah, and like, I don't know if I was thinking of kind of putting the pictures up, but it's crazy. Like, his stitches are, I mean, he should have died. There's a picture of him showing his arms, and he's got stitches. Like, I mean, he looks like a rag doll. He's got stitches like all up and down his arm. It's really bad.
But they're like cutting him, and then They're like, yeah, that's good. He won't survive that. Yeah. They leave.
He'll
like,
die. Yeah.
Like in a movie. And
because they did the slashing.
They person, in a movie. Yeah. And then yeah. the person lives, you know, and they come back.
Yeah. For revenge.
Yeah. Part yeah. two.
Yeah. Because they did. They slash his wrist. Not that I want to teach people how to kill someone or kill yourself, but they slash the wrist how you're supposedly, quote unquote, supposed to, like up and down. Mm-hmm. They didn't mm-hmm. do it side to side. And so it was like, it's really a miracle that that he lived. So after McLaverty recovered from his wounds, Detective Chief Inspector Jimmy Nesbitt, who was head of the Criminal Investigation Department Murder Squad, this guy was like
he has like a character
investigator. Oh, totally. Totally.
Jimmy.
Yeah. This guy was like hell bent on catching the butchers. I just picture him like one of those guys with like a fucking cigarette and like string on the wall connecting all these maps and like going crazy. And he's like, I'm gonna find like these guys.
The string.
Yeah. Yeah. So he made it like his goal, and from then on, when he took on the case, he had people like anytime there was a witness or a murder or anything that they thought was related, it had to be directly sent to him, because he was like determined to get these guys. So what he did was that he took McLaverty undercover with him, and they went out driving around the city trying to point out the assailants, and he was able to point out some of the men. Eventually, some of the butchers were arrested, the ones that he pointed out,
mm-hmm.
and they caved and gave names of other members who had been involved also, but later had their statements retracted for fear of retaliation. So even the guys in the gang were completely terrified of Murphy. The rest of the butchers came to trial during 1978 and in early 1979. On February 20th of 1979, 11 men were convicted of these murders, and it became the single biggest trial in British criminal history. Murphy, who was in prison during the time of the sentencing, was released on July 16th, 1982, because they still could not tie anything. It was kind of like that whole Charles Manson deal,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, he's clearly behind it, but they couldn't prove that he directly killed these people. And you can't really convict someone that easily if they haven't been, you know, for bossing people around, basically.
Yeah.
So he was released on July 16th, 1982. This motherfucker made it one day out of prison.
I was going to say he's going to yeah. walk right out and kill the security guard.
Yeah. He just stabs him in the neck, walks yeah. out. Yep, he made it one day as a free man and continued his killing spree. This one was like really bad. So the first victim, directly out of prison, he beat to death a local Protestant man with learning disabilities and then dumped his body in an alley. On August 29th, 1982, Murphy killed Jim Galway, who was 33. On October 22nd, 1982, this man named Thomas Cochran, who was on his side, basically of his gang and of his like mm-hmm. political stance, was kidnapped by the IRA. So Murphy decided to kidnap Joseph Donegan, who was a Catholic, as ransom. So he demanded that the IRA release Cochran, or else he was going to kill this other Catholic guy.
Yeah.
The butchers ended up torturing Donegan. They pulled out his teeth one by one with pliers. Oh. They only left three teeth in. They beat him to death with a shovel and then dumped his body in an alleyway.
Why?
After, I know, it's horrible. It's so bad. The body was discovered 3 days later on Monday 25th of October. Murphy and two other guys were immediately arrested. But again, no evidence that Murphy was directly part of the crime. So it's kind of impossible to charge him. Cochran, who was the guy that he was trying to get back as ransom, his body was found a week later. So after because he killed Donegan, the IRA killed the guy that they took.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some good news. Murphy was finally assassinated in a drive-by shooting on November 16th, 1982. He was shot 20 times and died at the age of 30. Because it was a drive-by, nobody knows who did it, and nobody took credit for it either. Even though nobody took credit, the IRA released a statement, because a lot of people suspected that it was the IRA. They released a statement saying, Master Butcher Lenny Murphy has been responsible for the horrific murders of over 20 innocent nationalists in the Belfast area and a number of Protestants. The IRA has been aware for some time that since his release from prison, Murphy was attempting to reestablish a similar murder gang to which he led through the mid-1970s. And in fact, he was responsible for a number of recent sectarian murders in the Belfast area. The IRA takes this opportunity to restate its policy of non-sectarian attacks while retaining its right to take unequivocal action against those who direct or motivate sectarian slaughter against a nationalist population. So basically they were like, sorry, not sorry. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Thank God. Yeah, they don't care. Altogether, the Shankill Butchers attacked Catholics and some Protestants in northern Belfast from 1975 to 1982. The 11 members of the notorious Shankill Butchers were sentenced to more than 40 life sentences for the murders of 19 people, making it, again, the biggest criminal trial in British history.
Mm-hmm.
Some sources say that they said it was 19, at least 19 people. Some sources say that it was at least 23. There were also people that they killed within their own group for fear of being traitors. So a lot of those aren't really counted, I don't think. There is still, to this day, one senior member of the Butchers living. Unfortunately, we only know him as Mr. A. And that is a horrible story of the Shankill Butchers. And thanks, as always, to Wikipedia, the Irish News, and the BBC documentary, The Shankill Butchers. Also, as I mentioned before, if you want to learn more, there's a fantastic podcast called The Troubles. I think it's like maybe 8 or 10 episodes, and they're going to come out with season 2. So go ahead and look into that if you're interested in that.
And the December, you said.
Oh, yeah. And the December songs, The Shankill Butcher. It's a really great song. Hauntingly beautiful, but it's one of my favorites. So
hauntingly.
Listen to that. I'll put a link in the episode. Yeah. But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I knew it was going to be depressing, but it's like, it.
Well, it's.
It's not worse than what's happening now, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah.
True.
Yeah, I was so. I text Rachel immediately after looking into this, and I was like, what did I get myself into? And she was like, oh no, girl. She was like, you need like a whole semester of classes to understand all of this. This is so bad. Anywho.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
It was. I had always heard that it was, you know, obviously that there was like a lot of violences, but I didn't know about these guys. And when I first heard the song, because in the song they describe them as serial, which they are serial killers, I thought they were just simply, you know, three madmen that were going around killing people. Yeah. I didn't think it was like all related to all this other politics stuff, which I mean it really wasn't, because they clearly were just like insane.
Yeah,
but
like they were just out to murder.
Yeah.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. Another happy subject, microwave coffee.
Always.
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
Always. Yeah, I had never heard of that, you know, besides the December song, I had never heard of them. And so I was like, that's kind of weird, because it's a big deal. And then when I was listening to that podcast, the guy who does the podcast, he was saying that he's like, you know, people my age don't really know of. It didn't happen that long ago, but we don't really know a lot about it. Like, it's not like we're taught it in school. And I mean, they're obviously taught about like the history of Ireland, but they're not like, not these details. And so he was like, it's kind of a mystery to us too, because we don't really talk about it. But I was surprised, because when I googled it, the first thing that comes up is December's. It says like December song on Crane Wife on the album. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
I don't know why they kept letting them out. It's like so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those infuriating things where it's like a technicality. Like did you guys ever watch The Keepers on Netflix, about the nun that got murdered?
No.
Yeah.
So I had started watching this a lot. I think Justin, when we were living together, like I think Abe was watching it. It was a while ago. And I think I started it and I didn't really get into it. And then so I've been just like binging true crime stuff and I'm running out of stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give The Keepers a chance because it's on every list of like the best true crime docuseries.
You know what happens when you run out of stuff to watch, right?
It starts over.
You start creating.
Yeah, I should. Yeah. But yeah, but I watched that and it was really interesting because this guy, the head, I don't know what he was, the head priest or whatever, was a fucking monster. He like raped over 30 kids and like, it was really terrible. But then they talked to, gosh, who did they talk? The district attorney, I think. And they were asking her all these questions. And then they were like, well, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? And some stuff she was like, no, I didn't hear about that. Or I did. And then they asked her, do you think he did it? Like, not the murder of the nun, but do you think he did all these things? Yeah. And she was like, look, it's not about if I think he did it. It is about, do I have enough proof to convict this guy? Because at the end of the day, she's like, nothing's going to happen unless I can have hard evidence that this guy did this. And so she was like, but yeah, if you're asking me personally, she's like, yeah, I think he did it. She was like, there's too many.
Yeah.
You know, kids don't lie very often. She was like, there was tons of them, you know, that we know of now. And so she was like, it's too weird that many children were like, yeah, this guy was abusing me and that they weren't. Yeah. Reporting other adults, you know, that it was just this one guy. And so she was like, so yeah, I think he did it. But she was like, but again, I did not have the proof at the time to like convict him or do anything. So it's really annoying with that part of the law is very annoying where you have to get like technicality, even though you know for sure. So I think with Murphy, I think they were like, we have nothing except that he's leading these guys. But we don't have any like hard evidence that he's actually killed someone. So, yeah. I mean, they did at the end, but he ended up getting shot. So I guess the people did the work for them.
Yeah. Somebody else did it. I'm surprised like nobody else had killed him already. Like,
that's what I was thinking. I was so like, long. And the guy in the documentary was like, you don't understand. Everybody was terrified of this guy. Everybody. He was like, even if the cops had anything, he was like, they probably didn't do anything because he had so much control over the entire city or that entire area.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Anywho, Rachel took a black cab ride. You know how they have like the dark tourist stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So she did a tour of this thing where they took you to like the different locations and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
She even with that, she was like, I was so confused because they had like 15 different names and she's like, I couldn't keep up. Anyways, where can they find us?
You can find us on Instagram at Microwave Coffee Podcast or email us at microwavecoffeepodcast@gmail.com.
Cool.
Bye. Hopefully cool. You voted. Hopefully you're safe.
Stay mentally healthy. You know?
Watch.
Take care of yourself. Watch dumb, funny shit. Learn instruments.
Learn. Do some paintings.
Yeah. Start macrame. Take some photos. I don't know.
Yeah.
Start knitting or some shit.
Knitting. Go nuts.
Yeah, go nuts.
Learn how to make bread. Make your own yeast. You know, learn how to make bread. It'll take you a while. It'll entertain you.
Build a keyboard.
Yeah. Anywho, all right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Could I get some more coffee?